Hi there, I'm Corey.
And I'm Lane. If y'all are looking for a little American magic,
then put away your athames and wands and dig out your box of roots, stones, and bones.
This is New World Butchery.
Tonight we're taking a sharp turn away from spell successes and talking about spell failures.
Plus, we've got our regular segments, Witchcraft and Spelled Out.
All right.
We're back.
Yay, we're back.
I'm so excited.
Celebrate good times. Come on.
Celebration.
I've missed the podcast.
I know. It feels like it's been forever, even though it's only been a few weeks since we did that special. But
still, I really feel like we're coming back this time. It's great. I love it.
We have an actual episode with segments and bits and pieces and all sorts of goodies.
Yes.
So,
what are we talking about today?
Fail.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about when magic is full of fail. What do you do? Some examples.
How can you fix it?
Lots of examples. Lots and lots of examples. So we're just going to kind of talk about that. We're also going to get into things like what we expect out of a spell and what actually happens and how sometimes those things don't exactly match up, mm-hmm. but often in very serendipitous ways do.
Yes. Okay, so... You want to go ahead and start? You have more than I do, because I can't remember. So I think I pushed my failures out of my head. So
I'm glad you repressed so well. It makes our friendship work so much better. Okay.
So you start.
All right. The first one I'm going to talk about is one that actually I believe I've mentioned before.
I think you have.
Which is a vinegar jar that I did. There's somebody who owed me money. And actually, it's not so much that he owed me money as he had control of money that should have been in my control.
Okay.
Which is a very strange way to put that, but...
I know what you mean, though.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's somebody who had money that was my money and was not letting me get that money. So if that's not vague, I don't know what is.
Well, you can't be too specific or it gives away.
I know.
I mean, I know who you're talking about, but anyway.
I think you do, yeah. Anyway, so he has this money, and I decided to vinegar jar him because I thought, you know, if I make his life a little bit sour, and I put that in context of the money, I'm sure it'll convince him to do what I want him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the thing. You actually have to put effort into magic.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
You mean it's not just a cure-all?
It's a shock. I did not just swish and flick. Didn't work that easily. I made the vinegar jar, put his name paper in it. I feel like I put one or two little money type things in there. Like, I think I used cinnamon. I don't really know why I did that. And I certainly don't know why cinnamon and vinegar in any way match up. But anyway, so I
sometimes
did that.
Sometimes you gotta go with your gut.
I may have put some red chili flakes in there too, just to make it even hotter for him. But I did that. I shook it up the first time I did it, and then I just left it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way those spells work, you're supposed to shake them up regularly. You're supposed to interact with that particular spell bottle and talk to it and say, pay me, you bastard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I didn't do that. I just did it once, let it sit. And, you know, if I saw it, I might shake it, you know, but it sat there for a long time. Nothing happened. So finally, I just disposed of all the ingredients and I was done with it.
Okay. Do you think it would have worked, though? Like, do you feel like had you really sat with it and everything like you're supposed to? Or do you think it just... wasn't meant to work?
No, it absolutely... I believe it absolutely would have worked if I put the effort into it. And I say that because I later did a spell on him that I put the effort into and got the results.
What was that?
I did this... It's a spell where you take a green candle. It's supposed to be a carved in the shape of like a green devil.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a green devil candle, so I used a green glass-encased candle and drew a picture of a devil on it.
Okay.
And then you... I bought some fantastic Paimi incense from Cat Ironwood's Lucky Mojo Company. And I found an old picture of this person and I worked a pay me spell on him. Mm-hmm. And every night for, I think it was either 7 or 9 nights, I would, you know, get there and I would get that candle and get really angry and I'd be like, you pay me. If you don't pay me, you're going to feel the burn of this flame. You're going to, and it was very, very intense and serious stuff. And I would hold the picture just above where it would have caught fire on the flame. And I'd run it through the smoke of the incense and say, you know, as painful as this is, if you don't pay me, you're going to feel this. You're going to feel the burn. It's going to be intense.
So it was, the picture almost became sort of Poppet-like a little bit.
Yeah, it was the same kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Basically. And I think there were some herbs involved in that as well. Okay. But within a week of that, I got a check for $5,000.
Hey-o!
Yeah. And it was unexpected. I hadn't really had contact with him for quite a while at that point. Because this was my last resort for getting him to pay me. Because I had contacted him a few times previous to that, let it sit for, I think, like a month and a half before I was like, okay, you know what? This is ridiculous. I'm going to hit him with this. Within a week, got a check for $5,000. And since then, that money has been coming out regularly.
Good.
So it's...
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, the vinegar spell, I think, would have worked if I had put the effort into it. But I didn't. And so it didn't. And that's how magic works.
Yeah.
So, now that I've monopolized the entire first portion of the episode...
Well, no. Like I said, you have more than I do.
Because I'm a bigger failure. I get what you're saying. How very passive-aggressive of you, Lane.
Well, I actually have another jar spell that did not work for me. However, this is a honey jar. Hmm. And I believe this one was the first one we ever did together.
Okay.
You had told me about them, and I wanted to try it. And it was to get a job, and it was with... I don't want to go too much into it.
It was with a company that you had a very positive...
Right, like affiliation with.
You'd always loved this company.
Right.
And a job opening came up.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And so I really, really wanted the job. And, you know, it would have been travel and fun and doing something that I loved. And, but thousands of people applied for it. So it was sort of like... you know, shot in the dark. Mm-hmm. And so Corey came over and he actually kind of like walked me through it and helped me. And we did the honey and, you know, the name paper and we burnt the candle and then I buried it. And yeah, it didn't happen.
It did not happen.
But, you know, magic isn't, you know, like, I can't.
It's not really a money back guarantee situation.
Exactly. Exactly. It's.
And I would venture to push this forward because. That was open to, you know, thousands of people, literally. I think if you had, you know, clippings of their hair, it might have worked better. You know, I know that sounds like a weird thing to say, but if you think about it this way, and this is me maybe rationalizing where I shouldn't need to rationalize because it's magic, but...
Okay.
If you were close enough with them that you could actually get a clipping of their hair, then you stand a better chance than most of that thousand already.
Yeah.
So... I'm thinking, like, because all you had was a name, that was, you know, there just wasn't as much of a shot at it anyway. Right. You couldn't get the magic on a close enough level. You don't know who had closer access.
Right.
For all you know, somebody actually did have a clipping of their hair and did the same thing you did.
Right, exactly.
So.
But, you know, at the same time, maybe it just wasn't meant to be, you know?
Yeah, that's an interesting way to think of it, too.
Well, this gets into more the philosophy of it, but...
I'm stroking my invisible philosophy beard.
I'm sort of always of the belief that if it's really not meant to happen for you, it won't.
I agree.
But then again, that gets into, like, fate versus how much we have influence over our lives, and I start to contradict myself.
I think that's okay. I'm very much on that same page with you, that there are certain things... That, and this is going to get into philosophy that this would be a whole other discussion we'll have to get into another time.
Yeah.
But I certainly feel like there are certain things that if they are outside the purview of your destiny, they're just not going to, they're not going to manifest in your life.
Right.
Not that they couldn't, but that for whatever reason, it's just not prudent. It's just not feasible. Right. It's not going to happen. But that's just a personal opinion. And we'll get to that someday.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
Long, far down the road when we've read. A lot of Kierkegaard and Kant and Nietzsche.
No, thank you.
No Nietzsche?
No, I'm pretty much done reading.
Oh, okay.
Did I just say that?
I can't believe you said that.
I'm not. I'm done reading philosophy. How's that?
Fair enough. Okay. Let's see. The next one, I'm going to throw a couple out there here, right now. I've been part of several dedication or initiation rituals.
Mm-hmm.
In different capacities at different times. And I got to be really honest, I don't have a lot of success with those. I just really don't. They don't stick. They don't hold. Or something goes awry during them.
Okay.
A good example is when I was studying with the Gardnerian Coven.
Mm-hmm.
I underwent a dedication and almost immediately afterwards realized it was completely the wrong thing to do.
Didn't we meet like right after that?
Mm-hmm. Very, very shortly after that. And I realized, you know what? That was not my place.
Right.
And I don't know if it was meeting, I don't think, like, I met Lane and suddenly the whole world of witchcraft opened up to me. It wasn't anything quite like that. Aww, but it was
darn.
But I think that there was something that in me that realized Gardnerian is not going to work for me. And all of a sudden I met you and I'm like, but there is something that will.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to follow that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. It worked out great.
Yeah, that's true. Look where we are now.
Yeah, like that gets back to that whole, if it's not in your destiny.
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe there's something to that. But then we did another initiation type thing.
Yes, we did.
And boy, oh boy, wasn't that special.
See, okay, the initiation itself was very effective and mm-hmm. very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, to get there
was very...
Okay, you tell it from your point of view and I'll tell it from mine.
Yeah, because you really do need both of these angles for this to make sense.
Yeah.
Sort of near my home, there is this, what I think is the remnants of a slave shack.
Mm-hmm.
And which by remnants, I mean there's a stone chimney, a well, sort of in-ground dug well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see sort of the markers from part of the house boundary. But that's it.
Yeah, there's a few few pieces of lumber, aren't there, too?
Yeah, it's mostly stone markers, but there's like little pieces of wood that you can see as well. And so the stone chimney is primarily what I was fascinated by. Because
it's a pretty cool place to go to.
It's really amazing. Yeah. It definitely has a magical feel. So I wanted to do this sort of initiation ritual out by this chimney for Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd gone out there several times. I found some really interesting things out there. There's definitely some good vibes out there. I went out there earlier in the day, and I cleared out some spaces. I built this little stone ring for fire, you know, cleared off the ground around it so it wouldn't, you know, spread or burn, made sure there was no tree limbs above it, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, though I'm building this up as though I burned down a forest, aren't I?
Yeah, you kind of are.
I didn't actually. In fact, I could not get the fire to start.
Well, first... But
we'll get there. We'll get there. So...
Well, okay. First, we should, like, sort of set up the night.
Mm-hmm.
We actually recorded a podcast, and then it was around midnight.
It was probably, like, 11:30. But yeah, we're getting on towards midnight.
Yeah, which is fine, because that's what time we want to leave. So we put on our shoes, and... You know, we hike out there. And, you know, we've got, like, this backpack of stuff. We've got, like, a lantern. I mean, we look a little
odd.
Yeah. But it's late, you know. Not many people are out.
No one was at the
resort. It's just if someone kind of looked out their window, they'd be like, what are they doing? You know? Mm-hmm. But, so anyway. So we hike up the road, and then, like, the road ends. And, you know, you come to the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when... So Corey went by himself to set up. And I... stay behind because, you know, we want me to come in blind, kind of. Like, not blindfolded necessarily because I would probably trip over a branch and kill myself.
You would have gone right down that well.
Yeah. But, you know, we just kind of wanted the atmosphere. I mean, we wanted
it. Yeah.
You know.
I agree.
Yeah, I think everybody will understand what we're talking about. But, so anyway, so Corey leaves, and he leaves behind his phone with me.
Right. Because while I am very witchy, I'm also very aware that should there be an emergency situation, it's nice to have a way to call an ambulance.
Well, exactly. And also, I wanted something on me to have an excuse to be there. Like, mm-hmm. if someone else happened to be walking late that night, you know, I could, like, sit down or just, you know, have that phone and be like, oh, you know, I'm just calling someone. And I just stopped on my walk to talk to somebody,
right.
You know. And, so, anyway. So, Corey leaves.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so I am out there in the forest, and like I said, I prepared everything early in the day. I'm totally sure it's all going to work out great.
Right, but don't you get lost?
No, no, going out there, fine. Oh, okay. Straight to it when I went out there.
Oh, that's even weirder.
Yeah, okay. No, it took me that long because I was trying to get that fire to go, and the fire would not catch. And now, I have built fires many, many times. I've never had a problem with this, and it was a bit windy. I'll give it that. It was a bit windy.
Well, we have to remember, this was the night before our big storm.
Right.
And it was really windy, mm-hmm. but it was kind of, it was a little creepy for me because, you know, I'm sitting there at this dead end road and I swear I heard and saw things in the forest. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I ever told you about this. Like,
you mentioned it.
Did I?
Yeah.
Like, I thought I heard you several times when it was not you. Did you get lost trying to find your way out?
I got lost in terms of I couldn't get to the spot I needed to get to come out of the forest.
Okay.
I could see the road from where I was, okay. but it was I kept running into this one thicket and couldn't figure out how to get around it. But okay. I did eventually.
Okay. Because like, you had a little flashlight on your keychain, mm-hmm. and I know I saw that a couple times. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Corey! Because I couldn't yell, because it's 12:30 at night, 1 o'clock, and, you know, people
mm-hmm.
are going to... Wake up.
Who's screaming in the road?
Exactly. So, I think it actually took you an hour and a half.
It was very late.
It was very late.
When I finally came back.
And I was...
Terrified?
Yes. I may overuse that word, but I was terrified.
Yeah.
Because...
She had almost flipped her shit at this point.
Yeah. Seriously. Like, I called my husband from your phone.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, hello, why is Corey calling me so late at night?
Where's my wife and how can I kill you now?
Well, luckily he was up and he knew, like, you know, that we had plans and what we were doing. And I was like, okay, so we've planned this ritual and Corey's been gone for an hour and a half. And I left my phone at home and Corey's wife is in bed and I don't know what to do. And he's like, well, do you want to come get you? And I'm like, no, because Corey's still in the woods. I said, he could be hurt and calling out for me, and I do not hear him. I was like, I really don't know what to do. And finally, like, I think actually I was on the phone with him, and you came walking out. And I was like, oh, thank God, there he is. So I was like, okay, I love you, you know, we're fine now, I'll talk to you later. And,
I'm sure he slept great that night. I need to buy him a beer.
But anyway, so you finally get there, and I'm pretty sure I started crying when I saw you. I was so relieved.
Aww.
I mean, I was really scared that you were hurt, or another part of me, like a little teeny part, thought it was like a test. Like I was supposed to come out to find you,
mm-hmm.
and like you were waiting for me to realize that.
And a little teeny part of me kept expecting that you would think that and would come try to find me. So really? I kept expecting to, like, look up and see you standing there.
Oh, that'd been creepy.
That would have been creepy, especially because, like, the other part of... There was another part of me that was, like, I would look up and see you standing there, look down again, look back up, and you'd be gone.
Right.
Like, you had... Like, it's something really freaky had happened. And, like, that was messing with my head.
Yeah. So, it was a very witchy night, I guess.
It was. And the thing is, like, I spent all this time trying to make that fire.
Right.
You know what? You didn't need it.
We didn't need it.
Didn't need it. Worked out great.
Yeah, so Corey finally got fed up, and he, you know, he finally realizes, hey, it's been a while, I need to go out and get Wayne. Yeah.
Now, I had no concept of time at this point, by the way. And I want to be really clear on this. By no concept of time, I had no concept of time. I knew I'd been out there for a little while.
You know, that's funny. I've heard of that happening in circles.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Well, and I kept hearing things out in the forest around, too.
Really?
You know, we blame it on the wind and the trees blowing together, but it sounded like there were, you know, like...
Yep.
Like that kind of stuff. So I totally, like, at that point was in witch mode.
Right.
And in that space, like, I thought maybe I'd be gone half an hour. Way off.
Yeah, add an hour to that. So anyway, so he finally gets there and it's fine. You know, like, I'm calm now. I'm like, okay, you're here. Thank God, you know, mm-hmm. you're okay. And I'm still ready to go do this. You know, like, I'm pumped about it. So we go out together into the forest this time. And you're leading.
Mm-hmm.
And you had gone there twice in one day mm-hmm. and come back twice.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, we go the total opposite direction. Like, the little stone fireplace is north and we go way south.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know what happened.
It was weird. It's not to over mythologize it, but right. there's this thing about, you know, you visit the land of the fairy.
Yeah.
You come back out and you can't find it again, no matter how well you know the way there.
Right.
And it felt like that for a little while.
It did.
Because we really were like, no, I know it's this direction. I know it's here.
Right.
And we couldn't find it. But then we did.
But then, like, didn't we go back to where we could see the road?
Almost. We were just beyond the hedge.
Okay.
Where the road was.
Mm, interesting choice of words.
Well, thank you. And, like, we turned around and we could see the little glimmer of light from one of the candles that I had left out there.
Right. So we... Not to, like, make me sound like this great tracker or anything, but didn't I finally find...
Yes.
...find it?
Yes, you found our way in and out
yes.
at that point.
And I don't know why, because I am usually not very good with directions, but at the same time, I don't think I give myself enough credit with the compass in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. That's also an interesting choice of words.
Mm, it is. But, so, yeah. Like, we get there, and it's amazing. We, like, you know, the candles are lit, and...
Mm-hmm.
It's really this clearing, and, you know, you're like...
With a big stone tower over
Yeah.
It. So it's like... Whoa.
And there's stones missing in the chimney.
Yeah.
So, like, Corey has stuck candles in these different little mm-hmm. holes, and it just, like... It looks like it's out of a movie, and I know that sounds silly to say, but, like, it can really transport you into, like, a different yeah. state of mind.
It felt otherworldly.
It did.
I mean, which is, I think, part of why it was so... interested in why it works so well on one level.
Yeah, but anyway, this isn't like how to do a ritual. Like, bring it back to the failure part. Like, how interesting it was
mm-hmm.
for us anyway, maybe not to you, that it was almost like we had to go through an initiation to get mm-hmm. to the initiation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like the forest was initiating us before we could use it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
I think you're absolutely right.
That's the feeling I got anyway.
Yeah, and I felt like I had to be significantly humbled to do what
yeah.
I had to do that night. And I was.
Yeah.
I was incredibly chastened. And because of that, I think it was very effective in one way. In another way, it was a total fail because it was, you know, you have this image in your head of this is how it's going to go.
Right.
And it was not that at all.
But it was still really effective.
Yeah, in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it felt like... It felt like our bond was stronger because of it. Like, there was a... Like, I trusted you implicitly after that. Not that I didn't trust you before,
right.
but it was this very, like... I've got to stop trying to be the big brother.
Mm-hmm.
And just let it go and know that you're going to do fine on your own.
Aw, that's kind of sweet.
Well, that's really totally what it was when I finally was like, I can't try to find our way out of here anymore. Can't try to find our way in. You know better than I do. I'm gonna stop being the guy and not asking for directions.
Well, I don't know. It's just so weird. I just knew where to go.
Mm-hmm. And she did. She found it.
Well, and I was doing my spell. You know, I was mm-hmm. saying. Except, I think I was saying I seek an object that's been lost, but instead, but I wasn't thinking like object. I was thinking of like the road and the general mm-hmm. area that I knew we needed to be in. And I was like, okay, go this way. And we just went, mm-hmm. and there it was.
And it worked really, I mean, in the end, it all worked out, but it was very, it was not at all the ideal, like, this is how it's going to go.
Yeah, that was an interesting night for sure.
Very much, but I enjoyed it. We feel, you know, we rock now.
Yeah. But anyway.
We cool. All right, next from you.
Mm-hmm. Well, this one actually isn't mine, but it's one that I think is kind of funny.
Okay.
And one that we has some a lesson to be learned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have a friend who was doing a spell, and she was trying for a love spell, and it was very general. It wasn't like a particular person, which, you know, she doesn't necessarily believe in, and mm-hmm. I can't say that I really do either. Which is fine if you do, but, you know, mm-hmm. just my ethics, I don't really believe
it's
in.
It's how you personally operate.
Exactly, in that type of love spell. So it was very general. It was just, I want to find love. I want to find, you know, a person to be with for a little while, even if it doesn't last, you know. But she was like, you know, I want this person's love. So she said something along the lines of, may he love me as long, or as the day is long.
Mm-hmm.
May he love me as much as the day is long. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we do our spell, and, you know, like, I'm helping her out, so I'm kind of along for the ride, and she says that, and it's really off the cuff, like, we haven't written anything, it's just, you know, and she's really good at, like, improv type of stuff, too. So, and then, like, maybe a week passes, and we're hanging out with some friends,
mm-hmm.
and, it's someone I used to work with, that we both went to high school with, and, we end up getting very, very drunk.
It's always the best way to do magic.
Well, we weren't thinking about the magic then, you know? And so, she ends up with this guy for a little while. Like, nothing torrid, just, you know, probably some heavy making out. Whatever, I don't think she'd be upset if I were telling this.
Let's give her home address.
Yeah, but, so anyway, like, the night concludes. I sober up a little bit, and we're heading home. And she was like, you know, that was probably a mistake. And I said, well, what are you going to do? It's already happened. She's like, yeah, I just don't think that anything's going to come of that at all. And she went, oh my God. I was like, what? She said, it was that spell. I was like, what are you talking about? And she said, well, what did I say? I was like, la, 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 as the day is long. She's like, yeah, one day. That is what I asked for. It's for one day only. And I was like, oh, no. And it made so much sense. And
it's funny because, like, in a way, that spell succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a total success.
But not the way she wanted.
Exactly.
Right. So, like, the whole point and lesson behind this, I guess, is you really have to be very careful about the words you're using if you're writing your own spells. Or even if you're not. Like, you know, when we first got together, you had written something.
Mm-hmm.
It's some sort of ritual that we were doing. And I was like, can we change this? This makes it sound like this to me. Like, we're...
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the exact wording, but it doesn't matter. But anyway.
I think it was something like Satan, Satan, Hill Satan, and you're not comfortable with that.
It was something like...
You wanted Hail Long Ears and Cottontail. Lords of the Grassy Meadow.
It was something like... It sounded like we were... like, bowing down to the god and goddess that we were using and... Or not using, but... Worshipping, I guess?
I'm just picturing snorting a god.
But anyway, I just didn't like the way it sounded because it sounded very, supplicating, is that a word?
Sure.
You know, just very,
Sort of subordinate.
Yes, very... exactly. And I don't... really worship that way.
Subjugated.
Yes.
That's what we're going to
thank do. You. Subjugated. Thank you. Okay.
We like English.
We do.
It's our
and favorite. Our degrees. In-
Woohoo!
And I can't even speak. But anyway, so, you know, you have to really look at the words that you're using, whether you've written it or someone else has, and, you know, see if that'll work for you and, like, what it's really saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the English language has so much subtlety to it.
Any language, I think.
Well,
does.
Yeah, but in my opinion, English especially, because we have so much more vocab than certain languages.
Fair enough. So, but yeah, I definitely think that the words have power argument
is
valid there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
So, but she got her one night. She got her
she
one
did.
Days long fling.
It's true.
So let's see. I'm gonna kind of try and condense so that our lists match a little bit better. Let's see. Okay, summoning spells. I've tried a couple of different types of summoning spells. Some are successful in ways, and some are just not. One type of summoning spell that I've not had a whole lot of success with, but I know you have,
mm-hmm.
is weather.
Yeah.
Not great with it. It's not my forte. I'm able to do, like, protection weather-type magic.
Mm-hmm. Because you've cut the wind before, right?
Exactly. And, like, that kind of stuff is fine. Because I think there's something about, like, that having that overwhelming need
mm-hmm.
not to die.
Yeah.
That you're like, oh, that somehow worked. But, like, I know I used to do a lot of, like, I try to do snow spells.
Mm-hmm.
And get snow to fall. And it's really funny. The reason that I want snow has nothing to do with I want out of school or work. I'd have still had to have gone. I just want snow.
Right.
I just like it.
See, my weather spells, I don't think I've done one since I've been out of high school.
No, you did one since you were out of high school. You didn't mean to do it.
Oh, that's right. we talked about that.
Yeah.
That rain one, yeah.
Heck, that initiation spell kind of was...
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That wind and...
Yeah, we had...
As soon as we finished, like, we walked in the door and, like, the heavens opened up pretty much.
Yeah, and didn't stop opening up for quite a while.
Yeah, that was scary.
It was intense. So, anyway.
Back to snow. But, like, I always did it out of, like, oh, God, I don't want to go to school the next morning. But in my... In your defense as to why it hasn't worked and why mine did, I always had friends with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, not only would I do the knot magic, but we would literally do snow dances. Like, I know that sounds really crazy, and, you know, like, we would get out after, because it was usually after plays, you know, after practice. So we would stand outside and wait for our parents to come pick us up. Or, you know, like, a few people with cars would stand around and just chat. And we'd be like, okay, guys, you know, we really want snow tomorrow. They're calling for it. You know, we have to really help it along. And we would all stand around and just be silly and dance. But, like, I was serious at the mm-hmm. same time. You know, like, we were having fun. But I was really like, come on, snow.
You were sort of collecting all that dancey energy.
Exactly.
And, like, shook yeah. into the sky.
Yeah, I never thought of it like that. But, yeah, definitely. So, anyway, I always had help.
Yeah. So, yeah, that, and that might be why it works. I think a lot of it has to do with there's no... It, I was sort of wishing it. I wasn't doing a whole lot mm-hmm. on the active side of things. So there's no reason it should have worked. I'm not upset by it not working.
Right.
Let's see. Other things, other summoning spells. Spirit summonings. I've tried to do multiple types of spirit summonings. Some are successful, some are not successful. The one I'm thinking of, and this actually... Again, it winds up being more on the successful side than the fail side. So I don't know why we're calling this spell failures, because everything we do works, darn it. Anyway, so I had this. I was using the skull to try and summon a specific spirit, and I was getting nothing off of it. But nothing was happening for this particular spirit. And then I look for specific signs and omens to tell me, you know, the spirit is interacting with me and I can work with the spirit now. Well, I just couldn't get it to work
mm-hmm.
at all. And you know, sometimes that's fine and normal, but this one, for some reason, I was really trying to get to work. It wasn't like I was just summoning up a spirit because I wanted someone to talk to. I really needed to talk to this one specific entity.
Okay.
Just wasn't getting to click. And for some reason, because I was doing this in my kitchen, which is where I do a lot of my work, is at the kitchen table after hours, after everyone's asleep.
Right.
So I'm sitting there with the skull and working with, not a human skull, by the way, I don't have a human skull. if you happen to have an extra one floating around, I am interested. So, but no, this is, there's a ram skull.
Okay.
That one. I was using.
Yeah, I know you have a couple.
I do have a couple. That just makes me sound creepy and kind of, I don't want my children to play with him. Not that I want to play with children. That sounds even creepier. Oh, goodness.
Just keep digging that hole, Corey.
Maybe I'll find a skull. Anyway. So anyway, I've got this skull.
Okay, so you work with the skull in the kitchen.
Not getting anything off of it. Sometimes I've had good luck with it. You know, I'll read cards in front of it and get signs and omens off of that. Or mm-hmm. I'll watch the flame because I have a candle burning with
right.
it. Nothing, just nothing. And for some reason, I got this impulse that said, open the back door. And I opened the back door. And it was a fairly still night and everything. And I opened the back door. And I just kind of stood aside as though I were letting someone come in.
Right.
And there's this, like, whoosh of wind. And... like, as soon as it did that, I looked up there, and of course the candle flame flickers.
Of course.
But it was sort of this, like, breath that connected. And then I went back and read, and I left the door open, and I read in front of the skull, and it worked.
Wow.
It was working fine. And it was very strange. It was one of these things where I was like, oh, I just wasn't letting it in. But it doesn't make any sense, because I've done that before. Where I summon and I didn't have to open the door. So I don't know, it was a very interesting experience.
Why do you think some spells are like that? Like, you'll do them and they're fine, and then, like, you find later, or at a different time, you have to, like, you have to step it up, or you have to do something different. Like, why is that?
I don't know. With that one, maybe it was because this specific spirit I was summoning had to come from a specific place. But, I don't know.
But it's a spirit, I mean, it can't use a door.
I don't know. Yeah, seriously, you'd think it would. If a spell works one time, I guess that's kind of what separates it from science.
Okay.
Is science you can do the same thing over and over again and get repeatable results.
That's true.
Magic does not work that way. Sometimes you get the same results over and over again. Sometimes things get tweaked.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing about that is that I'm into the hoodoo where I'm like, no, you use the specific herb combination because that's going to work for you.
Right.
But, I mean, there has to be some room for negotiation in there. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes what you need is going to depend more on what's available or what's appropriate.
Or what they want.
Yeah, or what that spirit wants, what that spirit needs. Mm. So yeah.
Very interesting.
Indeed.
So about any other sort of summoning or...
Yes, one other summoning spell I'd like to talk about. This was a fail on my part.
Okay.
Not a fail on the spirit's part, not a fail on the summoning. A fail on my part, personally, as a human being. Which is, one night, I was out at the crossroads, and there's a stone wall that I usually work behind at the crossroads because it hides me from the view of the road. And there are cars that pass this crossroads, so I don't like to be...
Right.
It's not heavily trafficked. But
they still go through there. Yeah.
There's cars every few minutes. So, and there's also this really cool tree in that area. And I was, and I was actually working with another spirit that I was trying to do some honorific work. Knocking on the tree, calling out the name, actually more vocally than I normally would.
Yeah. I remember you telling me about this.
Very loudly, and very forcefully and very into it. And I felt very good about it. And I felt like everything had worked out great. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Left
not self-conscious at all. Not like...
Wasn't paying attention to anything around me.
Right.
Okay. So I'm at the crossroads. And as soon as I finish this thing, I turn around. And from where that wall is, I can see straight out to one specific spot near the end of a fence.
Mm-hmm.
And under...
On the other side of the road.
On the other side of the road, under a street light.
Right.
And standing there was a man.
Wait, isn't this the night you saw the deer?
Yes. Okay, well, let's go back to that.
Yeah, let's talk about that first.
As I'm going out there...
To the crossroads.
Just before the crossroads, there's this little stand of trees that leads on up to a larger forest area.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I'm walking out there, I hear some movement across the street in that little stand of trees. And I look out there, and I can see these eyes. Which is kind of creepy, but I could tell it was an animal, and I could tell it wasn't like
a cougar or something.
Or a dingo. Not that we have dingoes. Or, whatever. Dingo ate my baby. Dingo ate my baby. I know this is some sort of an animal that's probably like a horse or a deer.
Okay.
It's the right size for that.
Okay.
I get a little bit closer, and I can see the shape now. It's definitely a deer. And it walks right out of the forest.
Towards you.
Towards me, looking right at me, totally fine, just kind of stares at me. And now normally a deer, if it sees a person coming anywhere near it, it's going to try and get away.
Well, I have a lot of deer in my backyard a lot of times. I've noticed they'll kind of freeze and look at you, and their tail will flick, especially if they're the white-tailed deer, to warn any other deer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, stop.
Right, but then they'll go away. They'll run.
Yeah, but then they'll go whoosh and
they'll
run off.
They'll bound away if you try to move anywhere near them.
Right.
Okay, I moved. I bowed, said hello to this deer. So I'm like, I'm going to be sort of near your space, just letting you know. So I walk up a little bit further. The deer just keeps watching me.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of turns around, casually walks back into the stand of trees. It's not running. It's not urgent. It's fine. It was fine with me being there. It just came out to acknowledge my presence.
That's pretty unusual.
It was very strange. And I had a weird feeling about it, too.
Right. Like it wasn't just deer.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so then I went on, did my thing, this other spirit that I was paying honor to. I turn around and I see this man standing at the end of the fence. Now, okay. This man was definitely a black man. He was African American. I could see the skin tone. But I couldn't see a face. He was wearing a white... It was either a polo or a button-down shirt. Or a short-sleeve button-down
like
shirt.
Like an Oxford?
Yeah, that kind of a shirt. And black pants. Black shoes. And I had the impression that there was a hat on. But I say that because it felt like the face was completely shaded out.
Okay.
I could not see the face. Now, after all that I had just been doing, I was like, oh, crap, this is one of my neighbors. You know, I just completely added myself to a neighbor, and this is really freaky. Some guy's out walking his dog, and so I decide to pretend that I'm on my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was just having a conversation, and he happened to overhear some weird part of it.
Right.
So I walk out, and I'm getting my cell phone out, and I kind of am checking out of the corner of my eye. I'm looking over there, and from where he is under that street light, by that fence, there's no way I should not be able to see the face of this person. And you know, as I keep moving around, I notice that the way he's standing and leaning on the fence, he's staring right where that deer was. Like, that's where the face itself is turned towards. But I don't know, I can't see any facial features or anything like that. And there's no, you know, there's no dogs around. It's not like he was walking a dog. This is, you know.
Yeah, you're really curious. Okay, if it was just a normal person, just a neighbor, what was he doing there?
Right, there's no purpose in him being out there. It's very strange.
Right.
You know, unless he's out there like me, he's just kind of about hanging out by the crossroads.
Right.
So maybe he is, I don't know. But he didn't, you know, didn't say anything to me, but again, it's because I was pretending to be talking on my cell phone, and I walked away.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got home, I just had this absolute feeling that I had missed a chance. That was the spirit, this very specific crossroads spirit that shows up in hoodoo a lot.
A lot, yeah.
And I let my fear get the best of me because I was afraid of being embarrassed in front of a neighbor, or I was afraid that, maybe on some level, just afraid of the spirit.
Yeah.
The particular spirit. And I hadn't said hello. I hadn't made any gestures towards contact.
Yeah.
And I've always regretted that.
I can say that, but... Like, to play devil's advocate a little bit, what if it was just a neighbor? You know, like, what would you have gone up and said? And we've talked about this before, not on the podcast, obviously, but,
mm-hmm.
You know.
I mean, I think of things all the time. Like, I think I had a little flask on me. I could have offered him a drink. You know, that might have been a little weird, but whatever. You know, I think about, you know, like, oh, yeah, walking your dog. Could have asked him that.
Yeah.
I could have said, oh, are you looking at that deer?
Oh, you that's
know.
True.
You know. All sorts of things I could have come up with, but didn't. And it's because I froze. Like, I know in the bottom of my heart, mm-hmm. I froze up, and I shouldn't have. I've always regretted that.
And but it's understandable, though. I mean, I know you kind of come to terms with it,
mm-hmm.
and you can't change what happened, obviously, but you're way more able to just sort of, like, brush off other people. Like, you know, we're walking, and we have a backpack full of stuff and a, you know, a big stick and a lantern with us. Someone's out on the porch, you're like, eh, that, don't worry about it. But I'm like, oh, God, they're going to call the cops because we're going to sacrifice an animal or something, you know? And so you're able to do that a whole lot more. So, like, I think me being in that situation, I probably just would have, like, stayed behind the stone wall going like, oh, God, what are they doing? You know? Like, I don't know, just...
Except that he didn't move.
Yeah.
He just stayed there.
Yeah. Just, I don't know, in your defense... I totally understand why you did freeze. Because, like, we do have to be careful down here. You have to be careful as a witch anywhere, in my opinion.
No, that's a fair call.
Because...
And if it was a neighbor, he might have been just as terrified of me.
That's true.
Because, I mean, there, you know, there was definitely a chance he would have heard and thought, that's an awfully unchristian thing to be doing.
Yeah, exactly.
So, that's fair enough. But, I mean, at the same time, like, there was a gift that came out of that. Which is that it told me that one of the primary functions of my spiritual witchcraft is to beat fear, is to overcome fear.
Okay.
Which is why I'm fine wandering out in the middle of the woods at midnight. You know?
I still have that to overcome, but then again, I'm terrified of wandering around the dark in my own bedroom, so...
Yeah. And so that's... But I mean, that's just absolutely where I come from on it is, if nothing else, I came out of that with the gift of... If I feel afraid, then I'm doing something right, and I need to go overcome that. I have to beat it.
Okay. I can respect that.
Right. What about your next fail?
Well...
Tell me how you're inferior.
Well, we've talked before about the hex that we've done, and we plan to, like, discuss it in depth. We have a few more podcasts under our belt. But the whole thing was, I worked at a job... It was with children. my boss was not only ignorant, but words I should not say in a public forum. She was just awful. I don't really know how to describe it without being too specific. Just take my word. She was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just in, she didn't know how to do her job, but in that how she treated people and how she treated the children.
Right. And you're not the only one who was under that impression.
Oh,
you
no.
had an entire slew of coworkers.
Definitely. It wasn't just me being crazy.
Right.
Which, you know, can happen. That's fine. But,
right.
Yeah.
But, you know, for one example, she let a child wander around.
Yeah, this is after I left. I quit when I got my review that was lies about me and major embellishments about, you know, mm-hmm. little incidents that had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I wasn't perfect. Nobody is at my job. But this I couldn't take. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I left. And I found out later from someone who I know that still worked there. The child had opened the door and wandered right out. Nobody knew. For a good 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I did know is because
the child went and found a parent.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
So, clearly this person is incompetent.
Exactly. Should not be there. Anyway, so we do this hex, and we...
Big old honking hex.
Yeah, it wasn't like...
It wasn't like, we hope she stubs a toe.
Yeah. I mean, it was not any, like, physical harm. It wasn't anything like that. It was just... We want justice, you know, I was so angry, and I still am, but...
And I think it's important that you say that, justice, because we were really wanting a very specific justice, a very
right.
specific...
Well, as I'm sure you guys can tell from how we've, you know, how we talk, I lean a lot more towards, like, goodness and light
mm-hmm.
than Corey does, which is totally fine.
I'm Slytherin, people. She's Gryffindor, maybe a Hufflepuff.
No. I am Ravenclaw all the way. Don't even put me in Hufflepuff. Anyway. So I was really wary of doing a hex. It was my first one. And I really wasn't sure about it. But at the same time, I was so mad of how things were going. Because it just felt so unfair.
Mm-hmm.
And not only was there crazy stuff going on with the kids, but there was racial discrimination on her part, that, you know, towards another coworker, that was just
right.
Horrible.
This wasn't just you angry. This was you with righteous rage.
Exactly. Yeah, it wasn't just me, you know, trying to take revenge on, like, petty stuff. It was...
That's important.
Yeah.
This was not revenge.
Right, exactly.
Which is the only reason that I was like, let's do this.
That was the only reason why I agreed to it, because I really kind of examined my feelings, and I was like, okay, this isn't revenge. This is wanting children not to be in jeopardy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, children and your coworkers.
And my coworkers. And people who just didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
So I wrote out seven things, what would you call them? I don't know the word for them.
Sort of seven consequences.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I know one of them was...
May she cry as she's made others cry.
Right.
Very specific consequences, by the way.
Right.
None of which, unfortunately, said, may she lose her job.
So she is still there. There's been some upheaval, and there's been some crazy stuff that's going on, and she has cried because of stuff that's going on, but she still miraculously has her job.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Despite, like, I mean, I think she's been investigated by the state at this point.
Yeah, I don't know about that necessarily, but... Because I'm not there, obviously,
right.
But... So I don't know if I would call it a fail necessarily. It feels like a fail, but maybe it isn't.
It was also cathartic.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, I mean, doing that spell was pretty cathartic.
Yeah, it was.
Purging. But,
I still feel things are very...
Angry people.
I still feel like things are unresolved with that.
Do you feel like the... I mean, there were seven criteria. I don't remember all of them anymore.
I don't either.
So I wonder if, you know, all seven of those have to be met, and... When they are, what will happen?
Hmm. Interesting.
Makes me feel like we're in a Japanese horror movie.
I know.
Before you die.
7 days.
7 days. Anyway, I mean, I think again, worked on a level, didn't work on another level.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, it worked on a level that we actually said and wrote out. But
words
it didn't
have power.
It goes back to that words have power thing. But at the same time, it didn't work on the level that we set out to for it to work at.
Yeah. So. You know, Peter Patton at The Crooked Path has a really interesting way of putting that. He says, the universe has a funny way of taking you at your word.
Yes.
And I agree with that.
Yeah.
You say something, that's what the universe expects.
It's almost like stories of genies, mm-hmm. and where you wish for silence and you go deaf, you know, or you or like peace and quiet and you go deaf.
Yes.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's what it makes me think of.
Yeah.
Or that one episode of The X-Files.
It all comes back to...
to Mulder.
Huh. Oh, goodness. So, yeah.
Anyway.
But I think that's definitely... we're onto something there.
Yeah.
Okay. The last real fail I have is sort of a general fail. I just feel like it's a failure on my part. And I've actually got another one that I kind of want to throw in here and see how you feel about it, because this is on yours.
Oh, okay.
I really want to be able to dream. I really do. And I do dream. But I don't dream regularly. I don't...
Well, everyone dreams every night. It's just remembering.
And I mean, by remembering, I mean, I keep a dream journal by my bed so that if I remember anything, I write it down. But, I mean, I can go months between entries.
Right.
So I just have so little...
See, that's almost abnormal to me.
It feels abnormal.
I think men dream less than women. Because my husband is about the same way. Hmm. He'll have a vivid dream once every month or so.
These aren't even vivid. Like, if I have snatches of dreams, I'll write them down. I mean, they're anything. But I just have such trouble with it. And I've done little spells. I've done the things where you leave out the glass of water, by the bedside, and do different things to invite spirit contact in dreams. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work for me.
Hmm.
So if you have good dream spell suggestions, please let me know. I would love to have dreams that have magical significance or have personal power to them.
I have a few books at home I'll look through. Did you look through the 5,000 spells?
Yes. That's where I got a number of the dream spells I've tried.
And nothing's worked yet?
Not really. There's one thing that I found that worked a little better than other things, and it was sort of an adaptation of a spell, which was... you have to take this glass of water and you put in 3 tablespoons of anisette, which is a very specific type of liqueur,
mm-hmm.
Which tastes sort of like licorice.
Yeah.
You drink that.
Yeah.
And drink that whole glass down and then pour another glass, put 3 more tablespoons of anisette in it, and leave it by your bedside for the spirits. And when I did that, I found that I dreamt that I would dream, actually... probably once a week, I would have a fairly memorable dream.
Okay.
And I could write it down. But they didn't ever have a whole lot of significance. Well, no, one of them did, but very few.
Have you tried putting a mirror under your pillow?
I have not. I can't believe you're suggesting that.
Why?
Mirrors.
Well, yeah, mirrors freak me out, but, I mean...
Aren't you afraid that I'll wake up? Open my eyes and there'll be a face in that mirror.
No, under your pillow.
I know, but like I'll like move my pillow and it'll be like.
My rational mind says that will not happen. It just freaks me out. Mirrors do in general. Like I probably would not do that, but mm-hmm. you don't have that same Mm-mm. association no, necessarily. No. So I would try that. It's like a reflection of your head. You know,
yeah,
like,
totally
what's going on.
That.
So like if you have a little hand mirror or. Even, like, if you have one that you specifically for a divination, I don't know if you ever do anything like that.
No, but I've got one that I've done, that I've used in magical working before. So
try that one.
It's a little big, but I bet I could work it out. Okay.
Or maybe even under your bed.
I'll give it a shot.
Or between your mattress, maybe. I don't know. Try that.
I worry about between the mattress because I have this fear of, like, breaking a mirror.
Well, I know you got, isn't your mattress on the floor still?
No.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh, I love it. Okay, we'll try it under your bed then.
We got a fancy bed with feet on it. We ain't sleeping in the dirt no more.
You can totally cut that.
And we got us some real sheets instead of them cut up burlap sacks. It's right comfy, it is.
Thanks, Jedediah.
You're welcome, Claudine. Yeah. So the slight tangent to that I was thinking about for you is, do you remember when we did that path working?
Yeah.
And
like the visualization?
Yeah, the guided meditation.
Yeah.
And it, cool. I don't think it worked terribly well for you.
No, but okay, here's the thing. While I am much more, you know, use your intuition and light and airy fairy, at the same time, I am very logical and very skeptical when it comes to a lot of things, even in witchcraft. Even some of the things Corey and I do, I'm so, like, part of me is always like, really? Are we doing that? The other part of me does and want and believes and wants to believe, but then, and I think it's a good thing to have, but I don't know, just some things, like, for instance, I don't think I could be hypnotized.
Okay. I consider that a challenge.
And I'd like to try it. I really would, because, you know, I want to see if it'll work, but I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm not a hypnotist, so, but I'll find one.
But anyway, so yeah, like, Corey, we did a lot of relaxation and breathing techniques for a while, probably 10 to 20 minutes, and then, you know, like, Corey is very deep and soothing and slow tones, and took me on this walk through, and I actually still remember some of the images that I had in my head, so maybe it did work a little bit, but
it felt like it was all in your head.
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and that's
but
what
I'm very, I'm very wary of that anyway, though, with anything that happens. I'm always like, well, is that me? Like, am I?
Which is funny, because then, like, you're okay with the psychological explanation of the witchcraft. To some extent. It's very...
I'm a bundle of contradictions.
Indeed. Well, it's not necessarily even a contradiction, I guess. It's like, it almost all makes sense in that context.
Yeah.
Sort of, it all happens inside you. That's how my wife actually makes sense of all this.
Really?
And she's like, well, you know, it totally makes sense if you think about it all being inside you.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the way it is.
That's just I kind of do. Part of me. I think a lot... I think it's like half and half.
I think it's a fair... I have nothing against people who do that. I feel that it's not that way.
Okay.
So as long as it's not, somebody's not saying I'm wrong and it's all psychological, I'm not fine saying, not saying something like you're wrong and it's not all psychological. So.
It's not the secret.
No. It's and I do hear a lot of people compare magic to the secret, and that kind of frustrates me.
Well.
But I understand it,
again,
too.
To play devil's advocate, I kind of see where they're coming from, because it is all about positive thinking and, you know, like, manifesting what you want.
Right, but see, that's just it. For that, it's all about positive thinking.
Right. For us, we actually have to sit down and do something.
Exactly.
There's, like with your vinegar jar story. Yep.
There has to be application. And I think even in The Secret, like, they say, like, you have to write the goal on a piece of paper, and, like, you do things that are, I mean, it glances awfully close to spells, it just feels really watered down when you get down to it. But at the same time, who am I to judge? I don't know. I've not read this book. I don't know it.
Right.
Anyway, moving past that.
Yeah.
But I just wonder if, like, guided meditation for you is kind of like dreams for me.
Could be.
There's just this block.
Could be. But I don't know, though, because, like, you so want to dream, and you try, and, you know, you've done all these things, but where for me, it's just like, I don't know. Meh.
as funny as this is, you bringing up the X-Files is perfect, because I am totally, I want to believe Mulder.
Right.
And you're totally...
Scully.
There has to be another explanation, Scully.
Right.
So
that's so funny. I've never made that connection.
But it's true.
But we're total opposites in some parts. We switch roles in some things when it comes to that. I don't know.
Yeah, when it comes to, like, the intuitive side of it, I get a little more skeptical.
Right.
You're much more like, I want to believe. So.
Yeah. What can we learn from failure?
Indeed. Well, I think, for one thing, we can learn that we have to be specific.
Yes.
That's something I think that we've made clear through several of our examples.
Yeah.
What about setting expectations? What do you think we've learned about that?
Well, it's funny, because a lot of the ones that we're talking about, like, we had certain expectations, but we didn't actually cast the spell to match them. Even though we thought we were at the time, but, like, if you go back and inspect it, you're like, that's not what I wanted. Why did I say it like that? Is it your subconscious working?
Yeah, you're back in your head.
Yeah, sorry.
Where I'm sitting there going, you know, was it fate? Was it destiny?
Damn you, Mulder.
Is there a bigger purpose to how we phrase that?
Right.
Yeah. And I'm not necessarily saying it is, but maybe it, you know, it's there because we need to learn to be very specific.
Maybe.
You know, and say exactly what we want.
You learn from your mistakes.
Yeah. And then, you know, and to that same extent, when we expect certain things, sometimes we get other things, no matter what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, as many times as I've been out to the crossroad, I've never seen that man in black again, but I felt something there many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my expectations are that something is there, but I don't necessarily expect to see that one amazing thing ever again. If I do, it's great. But.
Right.
All right. We're going to have a little break, listen to some fun and sassy promos, and come back and you'll have Witchcraft with Lane and then Spelled Out with me.
You've crossed the ocean and entered the new world with Corey and Lane on their down-home show, New World Witchery. Once you've gotten to the point where you can't tell hoodoo from Scooby-Doo, trade in the dirt and dolls for a torch and pitchfork and come join me, Firelight, at Inciting a Riot, the podcast. We'll be inciting all sorts of riots in areas such as religion, mainstream news, and living a modern, magical middle-class life. You can find the riot at incitingariot.com or through iTunes. But for now, get back to Corey and Lane before they take me to the crossroads. Those two can do some crazy things with some paperclips, chicken bones, and two-day-old donuts. Do not cross them.
Hi, I'm Saturn, host of the podcast Pennies in the Well, where we journey into the depths of the human psyche and the far realms of magic for the joys of spiritual development. You can find me by doing a search on iTunes or Podcast Alley, or visit my website at www.penniesinthewell.com, because there's nothing quite like slipping into the well.
Okay, so this is Witchcraft, and today, to keep the whole theme of minding your words, we're going to talk about calligraphy.
Ooh!
Have you ever done calligraphy before?
My handwriting is calligraphy.
That is very true. Corey has beautiful handwriting.
Thank you.
Like, better than mine, I would say.
I don't know. It's just one of those things. I had a teacher that I had really horrible cursive in handwriting.
Uh-huh.
And so she made a big deal out of it.
Really?
Yeah, about me improving it. And then, like, the next year, my handwriting improved and wound up looking really good. And so she, like, delivered this huge, like, 3-foot by 4-foot postcard to my classroom saying, "Your handwriting is meticulous."
Wow.
I was like, thank you.
Well, tying calligraphy to witchcraft isn't that hard, you know, because a lot of people write out their own spells. And, or even, like, their own books. You know, and some people nowadays say that you can type them out, but...
I think you can.
I agree, but to me, just to me,
mm-hmm.
like, for my own personal use, it does not hold the same magic.
Yes.
And if it does for you, typing it out and keeping it, like, you know, and printing out the pages and then keeping that in a binder, that's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying anything bad against that. I'm just saying the act of writing it out, especially in our day and age, when we do less and less of that, it has power. And if you take that a step further and you take it to calligraphy, which is, you know, you're really thinking about what you're writing and how you're forming those letters, then it's like elevated speech and then it becomes elevated writing. So you're not just...
And now why is that good for magic?
Why is that good for magic, Corey?
I'm asking you. This is your segment. I don't have to answer any questions. Until my segment.
Well, it puts you in a different state of mind. You know? Like, if I wouldn't go out and say, "Hey, sup, let's get together, and why don't you come down here and help me out here, crossroad spirit. Thanks." You know?
She snapped and pointed. That's an important thing to know, people.
You know, it's that you would elevate it. You would, it makes it, some people's, I think, sound stilted sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but it's because we're so not used to speaking that way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
coming at this as sort of a devil's advocate point of view, because it's so stilted, because it's so formal, because it's also kind of got an antiquated quality about it.
A little bit.
A lot of these spirits that you would work with in witchcraft are old.
That's true.
Used to dealing with that very formal interaction.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're the type of witch who believes a lot of it has to do with spirits and isn't all in your head, then maybe there's something to that.
Yeah, that's true. So.
Damn it, you got an answer out of me anyway.
Another thing about calligraphy is that, you know, you really have to think and stop and think about the way you form the letters. You know, does it have a serif or does it not have a serif? You know, does it have a little flourish at the end? Whatever. So it stops being about forming words and it becomes about forming shapes on the paper. So it sometimes, you know, it can lose its meaning if you get really into it, which is a good thing because it can, you know, it elevates
consciousness.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like a form of meditating again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just a heightened sense of awareness. It's it makes me think of like when you say a word over and over and over again, it loses the meaning and you're like, "Wow, that's like you just hear the sound and you don't have that the connotation or the denotation anymore. It's just sounds strung together in a weird way."
Yeah, it's like sigil magic almost.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, good way to put it there.
Yeah,
like nice.
Righteous.
Another simple one is it's just a connection to the past, you know? I think we lose a lot by having a delete key.
Fair call.
I mean, even if you're going to type it out, if you have a typewriter, it takes so much more to erase something, you know? You have to use liquid paper and, you know, twist the little thing and bring the paper up. And sometimes you just have to totally throw away your paper, retype what you're going to say. And, you're thinking about it a lot more when you can't just delete it out of the blue. Well, anyway,
you sold me. I think calligraphy plus magic equals awesome.
Yes.
So how do people get started with calligraphy?
I bought a book, honestly. I mean, I haven't really messed with it since it's been a while, but, I still remember a little bit. I had one where it compared the different fonts to animals.
Huh, okay.
And there was one where, you're going to love this one. The, this one particular font was bunnies.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
So she uses a rabbit, how round it is. Mm-hmm. And then that becomes like an O and an A, you know, and how round those letters are. And there's another one where it's like it's a dragon.
Mm.
And I think that was a very gothic font.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It sounds weird the way I'm describing it. I think maybe I can find it on Amazon.
Okay.
And
link it
for a few people so you can see what I'm talking about.
Are there special... I know I see like calligraphy pens. Are there special pens that people have to purchase? Or?
Well, yes and no. I think you can do calligraphy with just a normal ballpoint.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easier to do it with a calligraphy pen because it has that curved nib, you know, on there. The pen. So you can't necessarily make a proper serif, you know, which is the little curvy point on a, you know, on certain letters. So, yeah.
So theoretically they could do it with a regular pen, but they probably want to start with the other kind.
Give
a shot that way first.
In my opinion, even just not necessarily proper calligraphy, but just thinking about how you form your letters and, you know, doing like in proper cursive style even would work for me or, you know, would work for
just sort of elevating your handwriting. So it's very, very special and precise.
Yes, definitely. Precision. Yeah. Because with precision, you know, you almost get that artistry that's involved in calligraphy.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool. Well, thank you, Lane. All right. Next up
is Spelled Out with Corey.
Again, with the pointing.
Stay tuned.
Thank you. All right, welcome to Spelled Out with your host, Corey. I'm your host, Corey. Now that we're done with that ridiculousness. My spell that I'm working with this evening. Back at the beginning of the episode, I talked about the vinegar jar spell that did not work. But I also mentioned a spell that I used to fix that problem that did work, which is the green devil candle spell. Now, the spell that I used is one that I've sort of modified from a spell in Judica Isles' Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells. Basically, the point of the spell is that you're trying to get someone to pay you money that they owe you.
So it's not just, I need money, someone pay me.
No, okay. No. This is specifically for if someone has money that is yours, whether they owe it to you because they borrowed it, or it's wages held, or they somehow have access to your bank account or something like that. This is how you get that money from them. And I will go ahead and forewarn you now, this spell borders on hexing. If you are squeamish about hexing, then I recommend you find another spell or try to figure out a way to modify this one that
works
will,
for you.
Yeah, that will keep it from going that far. I'm not 100% sure how you do that. So let's get into the spell really quickly so you know how this works. The spell ingredients involve having a green devil candle. Now, this is a specific candle made of green wax shaped like a little devil. You can find them, theoretically, at botanicas and candle shops in some places. Lucky Mojo carries them.
Okay.
Their stock is sporadic about this particular type of candle. The molded candles, they don't always have in stock. You might even be able to find, if you're crafty about it, go to a craft store. You can sometimes find like Halloween soap molds and stuff like that.
Oh, good idea.
And use the melt your own, basically make your own. It might even be like a little devil head or something like that. The idea is you want something devil shaped. Barring that, you can also do what I did, which is you can get a green glass encased novena type candle, which you can actually, I find those in like Mexican grocery stores around here.
Yeah.
Or I mean, I think you can even find some at Walmart. Places like that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We have a pretty high Latino population, though.
We do. And so it might not be the same for everybody.
Yeah, like if you're up in, if you're in, I don't know where. I don't want to make any generalizations,
I don't know where they don't have a high Latino population.
Exactly.
So if
you don't have one, then it may be harder to find. But you can always order online.
Yeah, you can order online. Honestly, you can go to, if you live someplace and you're not sure who will have them. If you have a Catholic church with any sizable congregation, most likely there's a store somewhere nearby that's going to sell those candles.
Oh.
So look for that. Look for religious supply stores. Anyway, so you get these green candles, these glass encased green candles. I just drew a picture of a devil. It wasn't particularly the prettiest looking devil, but you know what? It didn't have to be.
Yeah, you knew what it was.
Exactly. You're just trying to get the image of that devil on there.
So, if I can interrupt, why do you want the devil? Not the devil, but a devil.
Right. A devil. Well, because you're trying to sort of bedevil them into paying you. The way the spell works is you agitate the person until they pay you.
So it's sort of like they're poking them with their pitchfork.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're sending a little imp to do your job for you. Make their life uncomfortable until they do what they're supposed to do.
That makes more sense.
You anoint the candle with command or compel oil. You can use bend over. Bend over usually is used more for sexual or romantic type stuff.
Right.
And so I would lean towards using a command or compel oil. You can also add herbs like calamus root, also known as sweet flag. Licorice root is very good for this. Anything that's a hot herb, ginger, cinnamon to some extent can work this way. Red pepper is very good. Black pepper.
Okay.
Anything like that is very good in this spell. You'll write the person's name on a piece of paper and put it under the candle. If you have any personal effects, I happen to have a photo that I used. Photo is good. Better is hair, nails, clothing, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can mix that into the spell too. You can either put it with a scrap of paper or I'll explain another way to use it in a second. Once you've written the name on the scrap of paper, anoint it with that command and compel oil. Anoint the candle with the command and compel oil. Put the candle on top of the piece of paper, preferably on a safe dish.
Yeah.
Don't bring your house down trying to do this. And then I like to have incense burning as well for this. And there's a great Paimi incense that comes from, again, Lucky Mojo Company that I use that was very, very effective.
Could you make your own?
You certainly could. Again, you probably use commanding and compelling type of herbs. Licorice is good. Sweet flag. And then you would use money-related herbs. I think basil floats around in there is a good one for that.
Okay.
There's a... I'll see if I can come up with a better list for, like, money herbs. But really, honestly, if you have a fairly decent herbal magic book, you can probably find money-related herbs and commanding or compelling herbs pretty easily. Okay, so you burn your devil candle and you light your Paimi incense. If you have any personal effects of this person, you can hold them just above the candle flame, above where it will actually burn, where you can feel a little bit of heat, mm-hmm. but where it's not in danger of catching on fire. And you can also run it back and forth through the Paimi incense smoke. And as you're doing it, you're going to say things like, for example, if the person that you're trying to get money from, his name is Vinny the Loan Shark. Okay? So you say, Vinny, give me my money now. You owe me. I need it. Give it to me. You cannot rest until you give it to me. You cannot sleep until you give it to me. You cannot eat until you give it to me. You cannot have sex until you give it to me. When you see the color green, you will think of your debt to me. When you hear the clink of metal, you will think of your debt to me. Your stomach hurts until you give me my money. Your head hurts until you give me my money. Give me my money, or you will burn.
Damn.
Yeah, potent stuff. This is why you're sending an imp. This is why you got that devil thing. And the thing is, you're doing this for seven or nine nights, depending on... You can even extend it up to 13 if you want to, depending on how intensive you want to make it.
Okay.
In that process, you're really giving them an opportunity to make good on this, because if they succeed, then you're going to call off this whole operation. If they don't pay you, though... then they've got a very uncomfortable life waiting for them. This is where it gets onto that it's almost a hex. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'd venture so far as to say it is a hex if they don't pay you.
Yeah. So how do you call it off? Like, is it canceled out when they pay you?
Yes, when they pay you, they have fulfilled their obligations.
Okay, so you don't have to do anything special?
Yes, you conclude the spell, you get rid of the candle, you thank the spirit, if you have a spirit that you are working with. You thank the spirit for its help. I would bury it, throw it into a stream of running water, something like that. You could leave it at a crossroads, but that might not be the best way because you might be deploying it and it could get dangerous. But so the best thing is really throw it in running water.
Okay.
At that point, you can also throw a little salt over it before doing that to sort of neutralize out any leftover stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, so you do that, borderline cursing them. But at the same time, you're also giving Vinny a shot at giving you your money. Now, at the same time, during all this, you can't just be sitting at home on your thumbs. It's not like, you know they owe you money, but if they don't know they owe you money, then this spell is, if it works, it's going to have some repercussions, I would think.
Right.
So make sure you let them know that they owe you money.
Yeah. You have to take... mundane steps as well. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And I say that having, early in the episode, I said that I had not contacted him about a month and a half. To be fair, I had contacted him.
Right.
But it had been a while since I contacted him before I started this spell. And I had a history with this particular person.
Yeah.
So I felt very warranted in doing this the way I did it. And so when you're running it through the smoke and holding it over the flame, keep concentrating on their life being hot and uncomfortable. That's what you're going for. And you're not necessarily trying to make it so that, their limbs fall off or anything. But you want to make them uncomfortable, and you want that discomfort to make them think of you. And you want it to make them think of what they owe you. Mm-hmm. And make it so that they associate doing what they're supposed to do and paying you with getting relief.
Right.
And once they do that, all is good. So that's
how it
works. It did work for me. It worked very well for me. Ooh, thank you, Green Devil. So that's it.
Very cool.
All right, well, let's wrap up the episode, I guess.
Yeah, it's been a long one.
It has been a long one. It's probably not going to be as long as it looks right now to us, which you don't know because you're our audience. We control the time. We control your podcast. I don't know where I'm going. It's late.
It's a little bit late. Oh, yeah. Thanks for listening. We're really glad to be back.
We are glad to be back. We'll hopefully have another episode in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. It's going to be lucky episode 13.
Ooh, la la.
So we're trying to come up with something kind of fun to do with that episode. Mm-hmm. We may or may not have an interview for that one.
Possibly.
We're still sort of in the works on that. But either way, you're going to get something fun.
Yes.
Because it's us. You know it's going to be fun. But anyway, if you want to reach us, you can find us at newworldwitchery.wordpress.com.
Or email, of course, at compassandkey@gmail.com.
And until next time we meet, I'd like to say thank you very much for listening.
Be well.
New World Witchery is recorded using GarageBand on Mac. The song you're listening to is Homebound by the artist Jag from Cypress Grove Blues. It can be found on magnatune.com. Magnatune, your source for PodSafe music.